dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 26. 26.
Holy mackerel.
Chris, is that you?
I'm here.
Let's take a roll call here. We're back home in the main studio where it all started.
Holy moly.
Chris is here.
It's like a homecoming.
It is a homecoming. And I'm here. Jason's here. And Lorenzo?
Oh.
Super producer Lorenzo, are you here in the house?
He's here.
There he is. He made an appearance.
Hoofs up.
He's kind of staggering a little bit. Have you been drinking, Lorenzo?
Of course, he has. He's off the wagon.
Yeah, that tail's wagging. Ears are sideways. Definitely been drinking. We know where you've been.
Yeah.
All right, Lorenzo.
Hanging out in the wine cellar.
All right. Well, it's good to be back home.
That's right.
We've had some epic road trips and remote recordings. I keep wanting them to call them live, but they're remote recordings.
No, you can't call them live. They're remote.
But man, how about that? We got to interview Ultra 4 Jones.
That's right.
And Arturo Soria.
That's right.
Both 4,800. They're soon to be 4,400.
They will.
That's why I said that. That's absolutely a Freudian slip, as they call that.
Yeah, but sure.
But they definitely will be in 4,400 cars here in the future. But 4,800 right now,
mm-hmm,
and making it happen.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, seeing both those drivers at the Wild West Motorsport Park up there outside of Reno last week or 2 weeks
right
ago.
Right by Mustang Ranch.
Right by the Mustang Ranch exit.
Yeah. You know, yeah, see, Lorenzo perked up there.
I got a funny story about Mustang Ranch.
Oh, I bet you do.
So this is going.
Is this suitable for...
It's suitable. We are
the explicit podcast.
It's clean. This is a funny story.
Oh,
so
here we go.
You know, 30 listeners will probably, this is kind of interesting.
Let's not date yourself.
30 years ago, I moved to California. So in 1989, I picked up stakes from Connecticut and jumped in my car and drove cross country in 3 days.
Okay.
So it was a mad dash across the country. My younger brother was in the car with me, helped me drive across the country. And my younger brother, Pat. He'll remember this story,
uh-huh,
but we spent the night in Cheyenne, Wyoming after a day and a half of driving. We crashed in a hotel there and woke up in the morning, had a nice breakfast, and then made the last dash to meet my brother at Tahoe. My mom had a cabin.
Oh, yeah.
Up there. So we were going to rendezvous. My older brother lived in Santa Clara and I was going to live with him. And, so we're, you know, it's getting into evening. We had just finished crossing across, you know, coming through Utah, through the Salt Flats and all that stuff, driving through Nevada, Elko, and blah, 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 mm-hmm, and whatnot.
Winnemucca.
We're on 80.
We have friends in Winnemucca.
We do.
Yes.
We do. Anyway,
Robert and Donna.
Sitting there driving along, and I see this sign on the freeway. They're advertising Mustang Ranch, you know, big signs
miles
on,
ahead.
I'm like, God, that's odd. Why are they advertising a place for horses? This is the truth. And I'm like, that's so weird. Why are they talking
about
horses?
12 years old at the time?
I was 21, you know.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And
Connecticut.
I didn't figure it out until a few years later when the Mustang Ranch was in the news because they were in trouble with the IRS.
Whoopsie.
Or something. And I'm like, oh, that's the what?
It all came together.
A light bulb turned on,
wow,
in my head. So that's so that's where the Wild West Motorsport Park is on the north side of the freeway.
You turn left to go to the motorsport park and right to see the horses, apparently, as Chris is saying.
Exactly. So anyway, so that's a true story. It's kind of funny.
There you go. Young and innocent.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we're back, as Jason said, here in the home studio, and it has been an epic month. We've done a lot of different things. It's been cool. So,
yeah.
You want to elaborate on any more of that stuff?
Well, yeah, let's talk about our Oktoberfest, which was a couple weeks ago. But
yeah, that was great.
And I know Snail Trail 4x4, you know, Tyler was with us.
Yes, he was.
Toyota Tyler. Tie Wrap Tyler.
Drag Link Tyler.
Too Low Tyler.
Electrical Problem Tyler. Yeah. What else? Yeah.
No Break Tyler.
20 Amp Fuse Tyler.
Yeah. There you go. So, anyways, unfortunately, Jimmy didn't make it. He's too busy for us.
I know. Well, he's got.
He made one run with us here on Barrett Lake earlier.
That's right.
Anyways, so man, great time. Let's give a. You know, they went into some detail, but we'll just hit some of the highlights here. Sure. Friday, Slick Rock Trail.
Yeah, and, I was not there.
And you were not there, but. We had 10 vehicles going in from the Lake Alpine side, and beautiful day. Nobody on the trail. We had the whole trail to ourselves.
That's the best way.
Oh yeah. We get to the first little, you know, rock, granite area and played a little bit. It wasn't much there, but then you get to the rock pile. The next section, and there's some serious fun to be had there.
This is still in the reroute.
In the reroute.
Right.
Yeah. And then you get to the Windchill.
Right.
You know, which I don't know what they're calling it. I know they call the lower section the Gauntlet now. I don't know who named that, but the Gauntlet is pretty apropos. So we had a couple fairly stock Jeeps with us. And I said, you boys might want to come down and walk this gauntlet area and see, because we have to turn around and come back up this.
Are those the JKs or the
JLs? Yeah, I don't know. Some, you know, yeah, J...
Four-door
JKs. Did we have a JL on that run? I don't know if we had a JL on that run.
But the newer style, the four-door type Jeep.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so... You know, and they were all in. I mean, you know, on smaller tires and everything. And they go, yeah, we're in. And I'm like, okay, let's do it. Well, I popped a bead on the way down, but we got them going.
Yeah.
Was able to reseat the bead pretty quick with our power tank.
Perfect.
And a high lift jack. And didn't have to use a ratchet strap, which was great because it was, you know, just kind of semi-debeaded.
Right.
Anyways, so we get everybody down and, you know... Over to the stair steps at the what I call the end of the trail. I've always run the trail from Lake Alpine to Utica.
Right.
And so we get to the stair steps. I'm leading, cross the little creek there. And so I get out of the Jeep. I had my five. And I'm looking. And it's changed quite a bit. The stair steps have changed quite a bit.
Really?
In the last year and a half. Oh, yeah.
The main line?
Well, the main line's there, but, you know, there's a tree missing somewhere. There used to be more trees there. That I know there's at least one
off
tree missing.
The left side of the main line?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
And then I was really focusing on the left, you know, kind of quote-unquote buggy line.
Before.
That I've tried seven times before.
Right.
And so I was looking at that and looking at the other lines, and there was a lot of good options going on. So I just waited for everybody to gather back up. And so everybody was there, and I go, you know, I need to try this. I at least need to stick the Jeep on the hill and just see.
Sure.
And so get in there and
channeling your inner buddy.
Yeah, and CJ. Mm-hmm. Was, you know, there as a guide, which I trust. Him and I have done a lot of wheeling together. And, you know, Toyota Tyler was up there at the top. And, of course, he's, you know, encouraging me to do something stupid.
Do it.
So I get in there and just feeling it out. And it doesn't feel too bad. And then the Jeep starts sliding sideways. And I'm like, okay, no. And took a couple stabs at it. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to give it the Moab bump. And I backed up a couple feet and gave it the Moab bump, and it made it up that lip at the top. And I'm like, oh, crap, okay. And then gave it, you know, I paused for a minute because I'm like, I think we're good now. Made it up. And sure enough, we did. And CJ's all, just go straight, you know, and everybody's yelling, go straight. And I'm like, okay, because I didn't have a plan after making it up that steep section.
Didn't think you'd make it that far.
I didn't think I was going to make it that far because I haven't, you know, seven years I've tried this thing.
Right.
And made it up. And then so motored out up the top, and I'm like, man, that was awesome. And I know – Tyler and Jimmy mentioned it in the podcast, but I did say you can't do that in a Toyota. And that's true because no other Toyotas did that on our trip. But I'm sure there's some Toyotas that have done it at some point.
They don't have enough torques.
Yeah, no torques. They got no torques. No replacement for displacement. They had a great podcast on you know, gearing and rock crawling 101, which was pretty in depth.
Yeah, no, they got into it.
Which was good. And I agree with them mostly. I mean, there's definitely gearing is huge. But having an option of V8 and something that idles all day long that will produce good torque at lower RPM, but yet you want to get into it and you want to do a little southern rock hopper action or something, or give it the Moab bump or anything like that, you got plenty of ponies backing you up.
Absolutely. So. I mean, the only thing that I would disagree with or not clarify maybe is they were talking about displacement, how, you know, it's like displacement is displacement. It doesn't change. If you've got a 350 or a 383,
right,
whether it's revved at 20 RPM or 2000 RPM, right, it's still a 350 cubic inch engine.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't. 4 liter engine is still a 4 liter engine, sure, whether it's spinning 700 RPMs or 2500 RPM. So, but the information they had was fantastic, and I enjoyed that episode. So, but yeah, displacement doesn't change.
No, but I like it. I like the V8. Even just the sound. You know,
yeah, the little burble.
Yeah. So, made it up to the top, and then that was great. And video, there is some video, but there was one guy in our club that took video, and he goes, "Oh, I got a good video of you." And great. And so, like, later that night, I'm like, "Hey, let's check out the video." Well, he had the camera off when he thought he had it on, and it was on when he thought it was off. So, needless to say, he didn't get any video. But,
was that
but
a GoPro?
CJ,
GoPro?
No, it was just you know, iPhone or Android or whatever.
I mean, I've made that mistake. I mean,
oh, everybody has. But CJ was not only guiding, but he actually got some video. So,
well,
and of course, Tyler didn't pull out his phone because you know, he didn't want to document a Jeep going up a difficult line.
No.
So, but anyways, it was fun, and everybody made it up there, and then luckily the bridge wasn't fully closed yet.
That's what I heard.
They were closing the bridge that weekend, the Joaquin Jeepers, and so we had three vehicles that decided to go out that direction, out Utica to the
right,
highway,
right,
instead of heading back out the trail. So we had six vehicles left. I say we started with 10 because one vehicle just came in to watch us play on the first two rock obstacles.
Who was that?
Was CJ's parents.
Oh, okay.
Right, and then they headed out and they went sightseeing, hiking, fishing, all that good stuff. And so we had 9 vehicles and then 3 went out. So this is like a math lesson right here. Three went out. How many do we have left going back? So 6 of us. So we turned around and what took us 2 hours from the bottom of the gauntlet, the windshield, if you will, to the stair steps, took us 35 minutes to get back to the gauntlet.
Wow.
Yeah, we were hauling ass.
You guys were scooting.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of carnage on the way.
That's what I heard.
I dented the passenger side of my hood.
I know, I band-aided it.
And I didn't even have a passenger to blame it on.
Oh.
I took a stupid rock ledge, and I looked at it, and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And there was some really just holes in the rock. And my rear tire caught one, and it just, my front end of the Jeep just went totally sideways to the passenger side, right into this silly little tree.
Really?
And I thought, oh, that's not good. And I thought I hit kind of the body more, but I hit the hood, and it dented it. But we'll bang that out. It's no big deal. You put the Band-Aid on it.
It's
fixed.
Good.
It's fine.
It'll buff out.
Shit will buff out. So anyways, we got back up and had a good time heading back up the windshield. We played more in the rock gardens and got back to the lodge and got into the evening with a, you know, good steak dinner and some libations.
Absolutely.
And so what was great is as we were heading back up and we were, oh, I don't know, I'd say halfway between the stair steps and the gauntlet, the base of the windshield, somebody's voice came over the airwaves there on the ham radio. You know who that was?
That would be me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so you, you know, we got Tyler and I heard you and like, oh, hey, Chris, you know, come on down and meet us, you know, on the trail.
No.
What was your response? No?
No Jeep.
No. No Jeep. No. No Jeep. Why didn't you have your Jeep?
No boom boom.
What happened? No boom boom. It was running fine at Hollister for the safety clinic in September.
It didn't start.
It just didn't start.
It cranked, but it wouldn't start. So I'm still troubleshooting that situation.
Really?
I'm not quite sure what's going on. I think I've got it figured out. Hopefully it's a fuse or a relay. But yeah, and I was so frustrated and trying to get everything crammed together to get on that trip. I just pulled the plug and said, nope, we're done.
The hell with it.
I'm just going to go up there, hang out, and have fun.
F it.
So I figured I could get a right seat with somebody.
Well, there you go.
Turned out to be you.
Well, so, yeah. So Lorenzo, that's why he got booted out, because you took the right seat. But, yeah, so I roll into camp, and you were about three or four cocktails deep and feeling no pain at that point, which was good.
I had to be prepared for the abuse from the rest of you guys.
You did, because there was plenty of abuse over the airway. You ended up shutting your radio off.
I think I did, yeah. Yeah. No, I said, I'm done with you guys.
We said CJ was going to be the co-host, and yeah, we had everything all set up. But anyway, so great evening, and then Saturday.
What a great day. And it was cold when we woke up.
37 degrees?
Oh, 36 or 30. No, yeah. 26 or 27.
Oh, it was 26.
Yeah, it was below freezing.
Oh, I don't know. I was nice and warm in my camper.
No, I was too. But I mean, I looked at the thermometer. I'm like, whoa, it's chilly out there.
I love it. I love that fall weather. Love that cool weather. Anyways, so we rallied 8 o'clock, got everybody going. We had 17 rigs lined up in the parking lot, and I go, well, this is going to be a show.
A slow day when that many.
And so, any volunteers for tail gunner? Me, I'll be tail gunner. So CJ, Tyler, and I hung back, and you were my right seat.
Yes, sir.
And we got everybody through the first section on Blue Lakes.
Gatekeeper.
A little gatekeeper section. Nothing right crazy, but it is.
Hermit Valley, yeah.
Yeah, if you haven't done a whole lot of four-wheeling and rock crawling, it is a little scary.
Can be.
Yeah.
It's one of the first trails I ever did.
You were closing your eyes when I looked over at you a little bit.
Was I even in the Jeep when you went through it? Yeah, I think I was.
You were. You might have been asleep. That's why your eyes are closed. Anyways, so we got through that, got everybody through it, and just literally waited like 45 minutes for everybody to get ahead of us.
Yeah. Because
we could still hear them, you know, rambling up the hill.
It was there were some newbies, and there was a very broad selection of vehicles and build levels.
All different levels of builds, yes.
One rig came through. He didn't even have his four-wheel drive on.
Oh, yeah. Whatever. Or, you know, using lockers, whatever. So it was cool. So we got up the hill, and then one of the little optional rock garden areas was blocked by a significant-sized tree.
It was good size.
That was down, that naturally fell.
Right.
Over the winter months. And I don't know if anybody's... Technically, there is somebody that adopted that trail, a club, but they haven't been doing much, and I don't know who that is. I've heard rumors, but I don't know factually who lays claim to that trail, adopt a trail.
Well, the Forest Service should know, right?
Well, yeah, but they're not 100%. Anyways,
right?
Because they haven't done anything. But so we go. It was a good opportunity for us to get out and winch this tree out of the way, because none of us had a chainsaw.
We didn't have a chainsaw, but it was a great exercise in rigging and winching, so it was fun.
It was. So you, me, Tyler, and Kobe.
That's right. Georgia boy.
Georgia boy. Y'all going to winch that tree? Anyway,
yes,
so
we are.
So it was good. And long story short, some creative winching, and we got that tree out of the way, and we wheeled right through that section. I had you videotape, video that section.
Hour of work for 30
seconds.
And
you backed up, and you landed on your ass. You didn't see that big stone.
Nobody was spotting me.
Behind you. Yeah. Nobody's spotting you. So you were on your ass, and I'm driving up to you laughing my ass off because you're on your ass.
Yeah, but I didn't break my phone or
no, you didn't
spill my beverage.
You didn't. So. You stayed upright, so that was very good. Or your drink stayed upright, I should say,
yes,
and your
sir.
Phone
and my phone.
but yeah, we made it through there, and then we ended up seeing an abandoned rig on the side of the trail. Part of our group
just
left it on the side of the trail like a piece of trash. Nice scrambler. I'm like, what the hell? I would never leave my, I don't care where I'm at. My vehicle, if it's broke down, I would never leave it on the side of the trail.
Gotta figure out how to turn around and get back to the trail.
I would be working on it. I'd be making arrangements to get this thing out. I would be camping next to it with my 44 Magnum.
Yeah.
So and I had that my pets app. Oh my god, that's like the best app ever.
Leave me on the side of the trail like a piece of trash.
Yeah, you could you know make things talk. It's supposed to be like your pet, but you could make the Jeep talk.
We'll have to post that.
Oh,
up on
that
Instagram
was hilarious. Yeah, yeah. So I had to make a nice little video of Kelly's Jeep there talking to him and all sad that he got broke and that left him on the side of the trail like a piece of trash.
Like a piece of trash.
All right. So, yeah, we see his Jeep and make that video. And then we proceed to head on up the trail. And we're almost to the river crossing. But prior to that.
Yeah, we were moving pretty good.
We stopped. I mean, and we had like major malfunctions going on. Yeah. Not us personally, no. But the Jeep in front of us and the Toyota behind us.
That's right. Everybody's like, I'm leaking or I'm broken or I'm something.
I'm a Toyota. I got all kinds of problems. So anyway, CJ had a leaky oil pan from doing a little disco dance on a rock on his engine oil pan. So he goes, yeah, I got this small leak. And I look under there. I'm like, that's not a small leak. That's a pretty significant leak. That's that's like a quart every 15 minute leak.
It's like the Exxon Valdez, man.
So I'm like, we got to fix this. We got JB Weld and stuff. We'll fix this. And then Tyler's like, I keep blowing a fuse and cutting off the dash lights. And like, it was like one fuse that controlled the entire vehicle.
Oh, and I have no brakes.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I got no brakes. What? What do you mean no brakes? Like, no brakes. I'm like, no brakes, no brakes? He goes, yeah, like, no brakes, no brakes.
Wow.
I'm like, how's that happen? No, nothing's leaking, but he's got this vacuum booster that obviously went south on him. But we're looking at it and trying to see any obvious. And usually when a vacuum booster goes, you could hear it hissing and stuff. And it didn't,
right.
It didn't make any noise. But I don't think that engine makes enough vacuum at idle to make any noise. So maybe that's why.
Know. But it's just, you know, there's something clearly broke inside the vacuum booster. Because the pedal was super hard. So who knows?
Yeah. So he goes, don't worry, because I've got, you know, 9,000-to-1 gear ratio and I could just crawl on the trail without brakes. And so he
56,000 foot-pounds of
torque. Yeah, exactly. And so we go, okay, yeah, that's good. You know, it was pretty flat from that point. So we're heading to the creek crossing, the first river crossing.
Right.
To catch up with our group. And wait.
But wait, there's more.
So then we've got a couple Jeeps pulled over off to the side.
Making space for us.
Yeah, and so we stop. And this lady, you know, comes up to us. And, Tyler, the night before being funny, put a snail trail sticker on my headlight.
Right.
You know, on the Jeep.
Right.
And so it was still on there. I didn't take it off. I thought, all right, I'll represent Snail Trail Boys, you know,
for a day,
help them out a little bit. We don't have any stickers yet, so why not help them out?
What?
And so I go, okay. So she's all, oh my God, Snail Trail. I love Snail Trail 4x4. I listen to them all the time. Da, 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 da. And so we're like, oh, okay. And just kind of played into her hand. And then, of course, Chris pulls out a business card and says, well, you ever listen to Wheeling, Whining, Whiskey? No, what's that? Oh, well, we got a podcast, too. Da, 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 da. And started talking about it.
Sweet.
Oh, okay, that's cool. And so we're like right in the middle of a conversation with her. And then Tyler pulls up and I go, oh, well, that's Tyler behind us of Snail Trail. She dropped us like a bad habit.
Oh, man.
Just like dropped that. Us like a bad habit. Like like freaking A-list celebrity rolled up, like The Rock Johnson rolled up behind us, and she just freaking went straight over to Tyler and started talking to him.
Snail trail, 4x4 has groupies.
There you go. Groupies there.
We have one.
We do. We got a few. But anyway, so that was that was Debbie.
Yes, it was.
It was Debbie, right? And her friend Linda.
Right.
And Debbie's daughter, Katie, is the one that started listening to Snail Trail and then told her mom about
it.
And there you go. And then, you know, then she met us. So hopefully they're listening to this podcast. Shout out to you guys. That was a lot of fun.
It was very cool.
Even though you dropped us like a bad habit, that's okay.
It was cool meeting you on the trail.
Love it.
Hopefully we'll see you again.
We'll have stickers for you next time. So hopefully, maybe this will come full circle next year. We'll put a Wheeling Wine and Whiskey sticker on the front of Tyler's rig, he's driving next year.
It might be a Gen 5. Might
be something different.
Could
be a Ford Ranger. You never know. Oh, we'll see. And
or a Chevy
or a Jeep Gladiator.
Woo!
You know, he secretly likes those.
Yeah.
So
has he looked under the hood yet?
Yo, let's not even go down that. So anyways, and then we see Debbie again, and then she'll say, "Oh my God, really want a whiskey," and drop him. And talk to us.
I hope so. Yeah, be cool.
See?
She drives a Jeep, so...
She does drive a Jeep. It is a Barbie Jeep, so But which is all good. It's a Jeep.
Spirit.
You are. Yeah. You guys hit it off. It's great.
Very cool.
So anyways, that was super cool. Meeting them, we had a great time. So we finally make it to the river crossing.
That's right.
And everybody's there. They're like done with lunch when we roll up. You know, like, what happened to you guys?
Oh, we were hanging out.
We were diagnosing some issues and moving trees, and here we are.
Yeah, we've been busy.
So, you know, it was great. Met up with everybody there and you know, started taking a couple bites of the sandwich, and then part of the group took off through the rest of the trail because they didn't want to go back. That trail's gotten really difficult.
We had
this conversation that night back when we got back. You know, we were saying, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, if Fort Ice is a 10, okay?
Yes.
You know, where you would go, like, some of the trails at Hammers and stuff would be 11, 12, 13, 14.
Or 20.
Right. But Fort Ice being a 10, which is an extremely difficult trail, Rubicon being in the 8.5, 9 range.
Right.
You know, where does Deer Valley Blue Lakes Trail fall?
We kind of figured a 6, right?
We were right in that 5 to 6 range.
Yeah.
And we were leaning more, you know, in that 6 range. But then we said, okay, what about Slick Rock? And Slick Rock, since the reroute, which made it a really good, I mean, it was a great trail before, but now it's like really challenging. You got some good options. And then with a non-optional windchill, you have to do the windchill, which increases that. So it's like a 5 or 6 now.
The trails have definitely evolved. There's no question. I mean, looking back in the early days when I first started building my Jeep, I originally ran Slick Rock and Deer Valley on 31s open. And you wouldn't do Deer Valley. For sure you wouldn't do either of those trails on 31s.
No.
33s, which is like I've got, you could do it if you have lockers. But yeah, I mean, seeing Deer Valley, I was like, you got to be kidding. This place is really – it's evolved. It's changed. And we had that discussion as to why has it changed so much. Is it because the popularity of the sport? I think there's a lot of factors. I think that's one part of
traffic,
it.
Traffic, yes. Traffic. More increased traffic on the trail.
People, you know, the JK, JL people are immediately going out and putting a small lift on the rig and putting 37s on them.
And we had a stock JL out there, our buddy Rodney.
Right.
And he was that was a challenging trail for him.
He took some hits.
He broke his what should I say? Overlanding cherry on on that thing. It's no longer an overlanding rig, so that's good.
No, he definitely took some hits. I mean, there was quite a few rocks that we saw that had some fresh scrape marks on it throughout the trail.
There was a lot of scrape marks on rocks.
But, yeah, I mean, it's
a great trail, in my opinion.
It's evolved quite a bit. It's a great trail. And the other thing that we saw when we were driving out after lunch, heading back the way we came in, we saw quite a few dirt bikes came racing through.
Oh, there were Dual Sports. Yeah, they were doing a – we saw them on Friday.
Oh, uh-huh.
And heading up Highway 4. So they made a big loop somewhere.
I got you.
And I used to Dual Sport a lot, and I was like, you know, that's cool. That's a great fall trip through the Sierras.
They probably do that trail in 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. They I guarantee they covered over 200 miles that weekend.
Wow.
You know, over 2 days. But, yeah, a lot of fun.
No, that's cool. I mean, and you know, they Monkey were butt. Share the trail. And, you know, we'd hear them or hear about them on the ham, and we'd move over to the side, or you moved over. And, you know, they eventually passed and went on their merry way. But the trail on Saturday, you know, it's a challenging trail. It was pretty busy. There was quite a few rigs out there.
Right.
So even saw a hunter. That was kind of
Oh,
cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He was full camoed out.
Yep.
And
deer season's in full swing.
Yeah. So. Everybody with all the four-wheelers going by, he didn't have a chance in hell.
No. There's going to be no deer. No deer. Sorry. We're making too much noise. Gosh. So, but yeah, the trail's great. It was a fun day. And what happened after we turned around and what we had to hopefully bring some rigs out?
Well, we did. We broke up in a couple groups. So one group went to recover the scrambler that was left on the side of the trail like a piece of trash.
Like a piece of trash.
And it turned out to be a transfer case gear that went away. It wasn't the rear end. So that was kind of odd in a Dana 300 transfer case.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, we had Tyler with no brakes. And then CJ, we... Got him sealed up pretty good, so he was okay.
Right.
But even with the group splitting up and some heading all the way through the trail and out and around
right.
The highway, everybody made it back to the lodge, Tamarack Lodge, around 4:30. By 5 o'clock, everybody was there.
That's right.
Still safe daylight hours.
Sound.
We didn't have to recover anybody with a trailer or anything.
Tyler went racing by because he started applying his brakes a mile.
Oh, yeah, right.
So he stopped about a mile past the lodge, turned around, and came back.
Oh, geez. Yeah. And, yeah, so we, you know, immediately unloaded the Jeep and then had a few beverages and easing into the evening, getting ready for the big Oktoberfest party.
Mm-hmm.
We had the German Volrath brothers with us that bring the party for sure.
Oh, yeah.
They party on. I mean, it's They cooked schnitzel,
oh, so
and
good.
They had the assortment of schnapps, apple schnapps, and angel's milk, which is not recommended for anybody.
So, I don't do schnapps, and yeah,
the schnapps was great, but and then they had their snuff de pop machine, I call it, that shoots snuff up your nose.
I watched that.
So a few people partook in that, and it was, you know, it was funny. One person does it, and then a couple more people did it. I mean, it was like 10, 12 people that did it. A couple of people did it twice.
What?
I'm like, I'm just sitting in the back row, like, you guys are crazy.
Did Tyler do it? I think he did, didn't he?
Maybe, yeah.
Twice?
I think I might have seen him do it. No, he didn't. I don't think he did it twice. No, he didn't. Yeah, it was great fun. A lot of people, a lot of fun. And it's always a good event every year. And looking forward to next year. That was a blast.
Yeah, no, it was a fun time.
But wait a minute. We got to talk about how lucky Tyler is. He really is the luckiest man I know. So, you know, we talked about on this podcast of, you know, tightening up your nuts, lubing your balls, all that good stuff for towing. And,
yep.
These horror stories, hitch pin missing.
Right.
You know, my buddy.
Yep, yep.
So, Tyler, and I got to hand it to him because not everybody does this, is they get back from a run and, you know, they don't even look over the rig or before the next morning run.
Mm-hmm.
They're not looking at their rig, and you know, mine goes on the trailer, so it's like if that's it. But Friday night I was going through, I had wrenches out tightening up all the leaf spring, you know, leaf springs for the win,
right,
the CJ5. Yep. But tightening up all the U-bolts that hold the springs on, you know, steering components, you know, the obvious stuff that can loosen up on the trail. And I actually got a couple, you know, fifth the third turn on some of the bolts, but at least I got a peace of mind that everything's good.
Sure, you
check. So Tyler's doing that because, you know, he's driving his rig home on Sunday morning.
Right, smart.
And he's under there and assessing damage and stuff. And anyways, he gets to the front end and his drag link bolt is there, but no nut.
That's right, no nut.
Nut was gone. So no brakes and possibly no steering coming out that hilly valley windy section.
That road's no joke, man.
So
it's cliffs.
Somebody was looking out for him. I really think it was his right seat, Kobe, that you know, the Jeep gods were looking down and kept right. them safe.
Oh well, there it is. That's a good theory.
But so anyways, all seriousness, it was not good. And in the Jeep, I carry nuts, bolts, washers, right. all this stuff. So I'm like, okay, let me, you know, I pull out all this stuff and threw it in front of him, and he was able to find a combo that worked for him. But
sure,
that's holy good. Smokes,
no, that's scary, man.
Very scary. Losing steering is no bueno. Yep. You know, at least brakes you could gear down, or
right.
you know, you got your emergency brake. You got other options typically. But when steering, when you turn the wheel left and it doesn't go left,
no,
that's no bueno.
And the potential of having both your steering and your brakes gone at the same time, that's just like a death sentence.
No. So yeah, if he got
lucky, that's
awesome. So he should have gone out and bought a lottery ticket that night. He'd be a multimillionaire right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
Him and Lorenzo would be on a deserted island partying it up.
Shit.
You know?
Lorenzo would be dead.
Well, I don't know. He's looking good. That AA program is paying off for him, right? Well,
there it is.
I mean, he's been dry now for 30 some odd days, apparently.
So, well, not anymore, apparently.
Well, no. He's well, I don't know. Hard to say.
He was pulling the wagon, then he fell off it.
He was pulling the wagon. All right, so that was Oktoberfest.
Good times.
You know, another event that I am definitely putting on my calendar for next year, 2020.
What's that?
Trail Hero.
What's that?
It's like the best run ever. I mean,
is that local?
No, it's Utah.
Oh,
Utah. Give me two.
All right.
So it's not Moab, Utah.
Okay.
It's out in its own area there. And I mean, they've got some competition rock crawling going on. All the big dogs are out there.
Really?
You know, Cody Wagner, Jesse Hayes, because you're not on the Instagram, the gram.
Apparently not.
You know, it was all over it.
Better all the popular, in.
All the cool kids were there.
So it's called Trail Hero, huh?
Trail Hero. And so it's a huge event. They got, you know, run what you brung. There's all kinds of different runs throughout the week. There's even a golf tournament at the beginning of the week.
Well, I could get into that.
See? I mean, it's super cool.
Cool.
A lot of vendors and huge event. So
how long has this been going on for?
Why you ask questions I don't know?
Well, I'm just curious.
You got a computer in front of you. Why don't you have Lorenzo hoof it on over there and check that out?
Passed out already.
Trail Hero. How long? I don't know. I would say, if I had to guess, 6 years. I'm just going to guess. But I am putting it on the calendar for next year. It looks awesome. What else? What else?
Oh, there's so coming much up. To talk about.
There is so much. How about SEMA? We got SEMA coming up.
SEMA is
what less does SEMA than 2 weeks for? Away.
Specialty Equipment Manufacturers Association.
Very good. That's exactly it. Yes,
it's pretty badass. This will be my fourth time.
Oh, yeah, and we've got our fellow podcast E's going with us.
Yes.
Yeah. So we've got Jimmy from Snail Trail.
That's right.
We've got Mike from Mike and Max's Off Road Podcast.
That's right.
And possibly Max.
That's right.
You and I, and Lorenzo is still, we don't know if he's allowed back in Vegas after the last incident there at the
I don't think
the
so.
Mirage.
I don't think so.
Yeah, we're going to have to find out, Lorenzo, if you're able to go or not. Yeah, he's putting his head down.
I don't even think they'll let him on the airplane.
Well, I don't know. There was that incident, too.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But looking forward to it. It is the... You know, premier gearhead event of the year. Everybody who's anybody is at this show, walking around on the trade show floor.
That's it.
You know, spend a whole day in the off-road section alone. That's what I'm planning on doing Tuesday, all day Tuesday.
That's what we typically do.
Uh-huh. I'll be upstairs in the off-road section if you need me.
South Hall.
And, you know, I was thinking this morning, you know, kind of gearing up for SEMA, and I'm like, you know, Jesse Combs used to be at the Warren booth and then at the Lincoln, you know, welding booth. Right. I was thinking, what are they going to do this year? Who are they going to get? I mean,
well, there's going to be a memorial for Jesse.
There's got to be something, right?
It's a sad situation.
I mean, and anybody that steps into that celebrity wise, you know, that's kind of a tough situation too.
Well,
so
yeah.
I don't know. I was going to look on Warren's website and see if they were, you know, I follow them on Instagram. I haven't seen anything.
Yeah.
But I wonder what's going on with all that. There's definitely going to be some sort of tribute deal, I guarantee. But
they had Jesse Combs was the perfect spokesperson.
Oh, so approachable. And I mean, you know,
friendly face, you know, just
she was supposed to go on Fordyce with us. We kept talking her into Fordyce and she was going to go.
We were close. We were this close.
So close.
So
damn it. So anyways, but yes, it's just, there's so much to see there and do. And what's going to be great is, it's Jimmy's first time.
Yes, sir.
And it's like bringing somebody to Disneyland for the first time, just watching them. You know, you can relive your first time experience through them. So it's going to be fun.
Watch him make the same mistakes I made the first time I was there.
Yeah, we'll let them go do that, and then we'll end up at the Hofbrau House later that afternoon. That's you right. know,
with our a liter of cola, I mean soda or beer. I mean.
Mm-hmm. We ran into the Germans last year. Actual.
Oh, my God. Actual
Germans. 100%.
They flew all the way
straight off the plane from Germany. We're at the Hofbrau House.
From Munich or something?
Yeah. And it was awesome.
That was
fun. That was a lot of fun.
We had to post that picture.
So they you remember the story, how they got there?
I don't know.
They bought a van, like a camper type van,
uh-huh,
to vacation in, this group of them.
Yeah, I had just finished a six-pack of beer.
Oh, yeah, that was one glass.
That was one glass.
But anyways, the story went something like they had this camper van type deal. It wasn't an RV, but it was this camper van that they used and went traveling throughout Europe in.
Uh-huh.
And they did this annual trip every year. And I don't know what happened, but they decided to sell it. And they said, okay, we're going to take that money from the van and go to Las Vegas.
I didn't hear this.
Oh, yeah. No. Seriously. Wow. Kobe will back me up on this.
Wow.
And they sold the van. And sure enough, they come out to Vegas. And we just happened. They got off the plane in their German garb.
That's right.
Okay. I mean, looked like they just came out of, you know, Oktoberfest themselves.
Bavaria.
Yeah. Munich. And they sat right behind us. You know, it's all like community seating type, right, long benches, tables and stuff. And they sat right behind us. And, you know, Kobe being stationed in Germany for a while.
Right, yeah. Huh?
You know, he didn't speak any German, but he jumped right in and knew the areas of Germany and started talking to him. And uh-huh, we find out the story. They sold this van. They took the money and they went to Vegas. And they were there for like 3 days. It was uh-huh, just, you know, but they'd just gotten there. So they were all, you know, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and ready to party. And we had a blast with them. We bought them a round of beers. And that was a blast, an absolute blast.
How cool of a story is that? You just bopping around Germany, you sell your rig and fly a third of the way around the world to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And one Hofbrau House.
And it was great because we were talking to him. What do you do? What do you do? You know, one guy was a baker. One guy was a real estate guy. One guy was a banker. I mean, it was, you know, just, it was super cool.
Is there a candlestick maker?
No, it should have been. No, I bet there was one there, but we didn't get that. Wow. All right. There's Chris after a couple bourbons. Woo! Sharp as a tack, I tell you.
Yeah, well, maybe.
There you go.
So, cool. So that's SEMA.
So we look forward to those stories, and we're going to try and We're going to try and get some audio from the trade show floor if we can figure this out. Our super producer has given us some ideas. CJ's given us some ideas, but we'll see how it goes.
Yes,
so look forward to those stories.
That'll be great. So one of the things that we should mention briefly, because it's pretty exciting news, is somebody that we know, a member of our club, she and another gal named April, so it was Joanna and April, raced in the Rebel Rally this year, which just
oh, that's right,
just,
yeah,
just wrapped up, and it's pretty exciting because this is the first time they've ever done it, and they placed 12th rookie 12th. Team coming in 12th.
First time.
Now, if anybody, if you're not that's sure pretty, what the Rebel Rally cool. is, you can look it up. But it's an all girls, it's an all woman race that goes. It's hundreds and hundreds of miles of desert racing. And they're not allowed to use any electronics to do their navigation.
Right.
They're supposed to use maps and compass, I guess. And it's pretty exciting stuff. We actually have somebody, a friend of our, Kobe's wife.
Alicia.
Alicia did the Rebel Rally 2 or 3 years ago.
2 years ago.
And they had a blast doing it. It's a tremendous amount of work, and it's a serious commitment. And you're totally on your own. I mean, every day you rally at the end of the day, and you know there's showers and there's a camp and there's food and all that stuff.
Luxurious combinations.
But you know you're on your own. You have to fix your rig. You have to find your way to where you're going all on your own throughout the adventure.
Right.
So it's pretty cool stuff. So congratulations to Joanna and April for placing 12th in their rookie first year ever of doing the Rebel Rally.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. And, you know, it's not only a test of your driving skill, but navigation's a huge part of it.
Big time. And you're not allowed to, they take all your electronics away.
Yeah. So, you're only allowed, like, even GoPros with GPS aren't allowed.
Right.
You know, our last two episodes was interview with Ultra 4 Jones and Arturo Soria. So we, you know, the Wild West Motorsport Park there just outside of Reno.
What a great place that is.
That is just a spectacular place.
I had no conception of what it was until I got there. I mean, we're driving out through Sparks on Interstate 80 heading east. And, I mean, it's like we're getting to the hills outside of Reno. And I had no idea what it was. We pull in there, and I think I called you on the radio. Said, I feel like I'm in a quarry, and you're like, "You are in a quarry.
You are in a quarry."
So this was the place is basically an operating quarry that. So there's big rigs going by and big excavators and dump trucks and graders and loaders and it's great and it's just this is a racetrack that's been carved out of a quarry.
Yeah.
So they've got rocks and gravel. They've got all the good stuff. The perfect combination. Ultra 4 short track racing and a quarry with big machines. Very cool.
It is. And we need to camp there next year. We need to make that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Get there Thursday morning.
Yes.
And camp and hang out and talk to the drivers Thursday, Friday. And then, watch the races on Saturday. Let them do their business on Saturday. But, man. Freaking, great. But Cody Addington.
Yes, sir.
888-888 ended up winning in the 4400 class.
Yes, he did. He ran a great race.
Yeah. So congrats to him. And, of course, we talked about Arturo. He had a hole shot there. And
yes, he did.
But three flat tires later. And, that cost him some time. But great racing.
He finished the race.
He finished the race, finished 13th. Unfortunately, Ultra 4 Jones, his race ended before it even started.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for him, man.
Bad break.
We walked up on him and I saw the gear oil under his car and, we were going to interview him. And,
right.
I'm like, well, this probably isn't a good time to even go over there. And then he picked his head up out of the car and, it says, "Hey, are you Jason?" And I go, "Yeah, are you Kevin?" And yeah, okay. And he had a remarkable take on things. He's like, "Hey, this is racing, and learning."
He had a great attitude.
I'm like, "You're way better than I am because I would have lit the car on fire and ran away. I would have been so pissed,
no doubt."
But that it is. It's part of the game, and it's so brutal. As we discussed, you know, that track, any of these Ultra 4 races, it is a true test of machine and driving ability and lots of luck. Lots of luck.
For sure. You just, I mean, and hopefully you have spare parts so you can fix it if you don't, or if the brake isn't as catastrophic as his was.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was just a driveline, you know, you go down to Summit Racing or Four Wheel Parts or a driveline store in Reno or Sparks, get it fixed up.
Right.
But, you know, blowing out your transmission, and that's a pretty significant piece of hardware.
So, we're looking forward to being there for the full week next year.
Absolutely.
Well, at least Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I mean, that looked like a great play. Yeah, it's a parking lot, but, you know, we have campers, and we'll have a group and circle the wagons and, you know, party a little bit.
Also, so it was interesting. So there was Kevin Jones, mm-hmm. you know, in the pit area.
Yeah.
And then we met Chris Ashton. Flat Black Fab.
Right.
Racing there. Camp next to him was Keith Ratzberg. 4821 car, which is right here in South San Jose, just around the corner from
right.
Home studio here. So I reintroduced myself to Keith, and I said, "Hey, we got to get you on the podcast too." And he's all on board. So we're gonna have to load up some cooler full of beer and head over to his house one night.
Another remote,
yeah. Probably leave Lorenzo at home.
Yeah, well, of course.
That'll be good. So Keith, if you're listening, we're gonna be contacting you. Get ready.
Sweet.
But yeah, good stuff. And then towards the end of qualifying on Friday, you know, we luckily got our media credentials, and we down there trackside right up against the cyclone fence.
Yeah.
And so we were down by the rock garden right there. And saw a horrendous cartwheel.
That was crazy.
Jeff, All South Jeff, they call him.
Yep.
Car 12, came off that first rock pile. He sent it.
He sent it, no doubt.
He sent it a little too hard, and that sucker endowed, and that car flipped.
He was trying to auger in.
Oh, he did auger in. And, I mean, it cartwheeled down the track and stopped, and he got out, and he was walking. I mean, just a testament of how well those cars are built.
It was crazy. The car was pretty messed up when it was finished.
I mean, his cage had to get rattled somewhat, but he was able to walk away from that. And so I went and looked for him in the pits afterwards, because I'd caught it on video amongst some other people,
and
so shared it with him. But oh my gosh, that car was trashed. Whole front end was torn apart.
Did he get that back together?
They got it back together and raced.
He raced on the next Saturday. Oh my god!
I mean, that had to be a long night. I mean, they were starting to make a parts list when I was there, and they were going to head to Summit. And, you know, somebody goes, "Oh, they got DOM tubing and da 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 da," and I'm like, "Oh, okay, guys, good luck."
Wow. Yeah. When I saw him out on the track, I was like, "You got to be kidding! Was this a different car?"
Nope. Same car. Same car.
That's pretty amazing. That's the tenacity and the drive these teams have, honestly, and the dedication to be able to put a car that freaking cartwheeled 6-7 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it was less than that.
It was maybe less than that. It was like 3, but anyways, the video's out there on the gram. And,
yeah.
I've seen it around. And then, of course, you can watch the live feed
that
has been recorded. And you can watch anytime you like on ultra4.com. But
yep.
Holy smokes.
Great stuff.
End of the day of Friday. So anyways, so that kind of wraps that up. What else you got over there? You got anything else?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do.
Oh, yeah.
You've been saving this up.
It's time.
All right. We're doing this.
We're going to do it.
Okay. I can't wait to hear this one. Here we go. I'm going to pour myself a little more bourbon here.
We may think it, but Chris is going to say it.
You know what really pisses me off when I see him driving on the road and not following the laws?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
And they really need to be held to a higher standard because they're professionals.
Oh, I don't know where you're going with this.
Commercial truck drivers.
Uh-oh. Oh, easy.
Now, listen, most of them are awesome. Mm-hmm. They're professionals. They follow the law. They drive safely. And, they're delivering the goods that we get from Amazon, the stuff you get at Home Depot, at Safeway, whatever.
Everything.
But I'll tell you what, these guys are barreling down the road in 80,000 pound trucks. And they're running lights.
Traffic lights.
Yeah. I see it every day. Every single day now. It's not just little cars or SUVs running traffic lights. We're talking, I see it every single day where a big 80,000 pound big rig runs a red light. And I'm not talking about the light was yellow and he's in it. I'm talking about the light was red and he continued she goes through the intersection. And this is not a safe thing for them to do because, you hit a car. I hit another truck with my truck. Probably going 40 miles an hour. But could you imagine being hit by a big rig going 40 miles an hour, being T-boned by it?
No.
This is not cool. And I'm going to say it. I'm saying it loud and proud right now.
Okay.
These commercial truck drivers, they have to be held to a higher standard. They have to drive better. And to run a red light, they're up high. They can see this stuff. It's not.
Right.
I can't see the light. Low. I can't. It's like they can see this stuff. There's no reason for them to run the light. They're just trying to save 2 or 3 minutes out of their route. And I don't like it because they're going to save that time and they're going to kill somebody. And it's just bullshit. It really is. So my rant of the week or the month or whatever, it's been a while. I'm coming out strong. Commercial truck drivers, if you're listening to this, stop breaking the law.
There you go. And if you see a Barbie Jeep driving through Livermore, feel free to honk and
T-bone them. Hey, I'm T-bone, man. I'm still alive.
Oh, my God. So okay, well, there it is. Well, I can't disagree. I shouldn't be red at red lights with a big rig, but yeah.
Wow. Well, there's more. They're running red lights. They're running stop signs. What else do I see him doing? Sometimes, we talked a lot about towing,
right?
When you're on the freeway, if it's a 2-lane road, like I-5 is a lot of the way, towing, you're supposed to be in the far right lane and you can get into the left lane to pass, but you need to move back to the right.
Right.
If it's 3 lanes, the people towing can be in the 2 lanes. I don't know what the lane numbers are, but the 2 right lanes. So the right lane and the middle lane, they can go into the left lane to pass, but just briefly, they need to move back over.
Sure.
Trailers can be in the 2 right lane. And then again, if it's 4 lanes and so forth and so on, but the reality is trailers, vehicle, whether it's a big rig or a car or a truck towing a trailer, you're always supposed to remain to the far right.
Okay.
Unless you're passing.
Yeah.
And that's in the handbook, the driver's handbook, people. So anyway, this is the stuff I see all the time and it just drives me crazy.
No,
so.
You're on it. You're on it.
So that's my rant for what it's worth. I'm back in form. So
Lorenzo's giving you a high five there. He's high hoof.
Woohoo.
He liked that.
Lorenzo.
Well, there you go.
So we also haven't done any liquors or whiskeys or wines in quite a while. We're really backlogged.
No, we're very, very dry. The wheeling, water, and
and interviews.
And no, it's got to be a W.
Wheeling, water, and women?
Oh, well, there you go. We could do that.
Yeah, I don't know. It might get...
Then you could get like the Mike and Max podcast. Just the tip.
Just the tip. Those are our brother podcasts. Wheeling, Wine, and Whiskey is us. And Mike and Max Off-Road Podcast. And then, of course, you've got the Snail Trail Boys.
The Toyota Boys.
Snail Trail 4x4.
Our younger brothers. We don't call them the sister podcast.
The Fireball Boys.
Yeah. Well, only one of them's Fireball. Jimmy has an appreciation for good liquor.
Yes, he does. He does.
Yeah, he's knowledgeable.
So we have to talk about a whiskey.
Okay, what do you got?
I have a whiskey. It's called. Well, I stole it.
You stole it. Where'd you steal it from?
Well, I didn't steal it. It's called Stolen Whiskey.
Oh, it's called Stolen.
Yeah, it's pretty damn
good.
Wait,
back up, Lorenzo. Back it on up.
Man, did you see that?
Yeah. You need to check yourself before you wreck yourself, Lorenzo.
Bottle, man. You can't even put a bottle on
that's
the table.
That's a cool looking bottle.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah, Stolen Whiskey. I picked it up at the local purveyor of spirits here in town. It's it was in the end cap locked, which surprise.
Wow, you went high dollar.
I did. Well, not really.
But, oh,
it's an 11-year-old whiskey. It's not. It's still underage, but yes. I felt it was pretty good. It's on a sweeter side. It's corn based on corn.
Corn mash bill.
Corn mash.
How
bill.
Many does it give a percentage?
It does.
Oh well, here we go. I'm gonna have to do a little retry on this.
Okay, yeah. So we're talking about the Stolen Whiskey, the 11 years, and
what's the mash bill?
So it's 81% corn,
81%,
and 15% rye and 4% malted barley.
So heavy corn.
Yeah, heavy corn. It's pretty smooth.
It's nice.
It's a little on the lighter side. But there's definitely a little bit of smoke in there because of the way they put it in barrels, and they have the charred staves.
You know, that's pretty damn smooth. It's interesting because you get smoke on the palate,
mm-hmm.
and then it totally mellows out, and you get some like a lot of vanilla.
And butteriness?
Yes, butterscotch on high.
Yeah.
Butterscotch on high. What's the percentage alcohol? 40? Let me guess. Let me take another sip.
Oh boy, here we go. It's palate. What do you think?
It's pretty damn smooth. I mean, it's got some heat on the back. I'm gonna say it's kind of low. I'm gonna give it a 42.5%.
Nope.
Really? Higher?
46.
Oh, it is 46. Okay. Well, that's impressive.
Yes, sir.
Because it does burn a little bit on the back end, but I like it.
No,
I like it.
It's a good drinker.
Where's that out of?
Are you kidding me? St. Petersburg, Florida.
It's out of Florida?
Yeah.
That's who it's distributed by, or that's where it's made?
Produced and bottled for Stolen Spirits by St. Petersburg Distillery in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Wow. A freaking Florida whiskey.
Florida whiskey. Not bad.
That's approachable yet unassuming.
And it's not painfully expensive either.
Because it's all relative to
it was in the $40 range.
Oh. That's totally doable.
Yeah, no.
It's in the wheelhouse.
It's in my wheelhouse. So oh,
definitely in your wheelhouse. Definitely in your wheelhouse.
But yeah, I got this at BevMo. It was in one of the locked end cap cabinets, and so I had to get a little manager unlockage going on there.
Okay.
But
do you feel impotent?
I did.
Because you're like, I need assistant on son.
Sir,
I would like to purchase this bottle of bourbon right here.
It's a good buy. I enjoyed it. I'm going to continue to enjoy it. And
I'm going to continue. Well, of course you are. So is it a bourbon?
It's a whiskey.
No. Is it really? Remember, bourbon is defined by 51%. Corn.
Oh, it's definitely a bourbon,
right?
Yeah, it's 81%. So yeah,
and then it has to be aged in American oak.
That's correct.
Barrels.
American. Yeah, that's what it when it has oak and it's got smoked oak staves for extra flavor.
Well, so that's where that smokiness is coming from.
Yes, sir. So yeah, good stuff. I recommend it.
Well, there you go. There you go. So the Stolen Whiskey, aged 11 years.
That's right.
And what else would you say? How would that compare to like Old Elk? That's just our standard rule.
It's not as big as Old Elk, you know, for sure.
The depth of flavor is not. But at the beginning, it's on point.
Yeah, no.
And then it gets a little hot
with a little bite.
Where Old Elk is smooth all the way through,
mm-hmm.
from start to finish. Where this one starts out smooth and gets a little heat at the back end, but not bad.
No.
And $40. There you go. Old Elks, $44-45.
Right there.
So
good stuff.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm not going to spit it out.
No, no, no. You better not.
No.
So there you go. So that's the whiskey that we're talking about this week, or bourbon that we're talking about this this podcast.
I like it. That's very good. All right. You know, we've been getting some good feedback on the Gaia software with CJ.
Oh, yeah. That was great. That was a great
episode. Back-to-back episodes. That was 22-23 episodes.
That's right. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah. And, yeah, we've got some good feedback. We like the feedback.
Well, we like to drop knowledge on people.
Well, and that was good. I mean, I learned a lot. I still have more to learn.
Absolutely.
And I dug out the old iPad and verified that it does have GPS. It does. That's good.
Your iPads have GPS? Yeah,
well, one of them doesn't. Oh. One of them does.
Okay.
So that's good. So I'm definitely going to be downloading that software.
Cool.
And making that happen.
Got to get a mount for your Jeep now.
Yeah. Got to get the Ram mount.
Hold on. I got to order you Jeep. A hat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. No, not quite there yet. And then I did verify with Tyler that there is a discount code on his website.
Yeah, I want to do that myself.
On My Off-Road Radio. So check that out.
Right.
And you can get the discount code.
Cool.
For the Gaia software. Yes. When this episode launches,
yes, sir,
we're going to be fully immersed in Las Vegas
SEMA,
and we'll hopefully get some good footage there.
Yep,
good recordings.
We have a device that we're going to be using. Hopefully,
yeah. Thank you, CJ.
Digital recorder.
We'll see how this works out.
Exactly,
and we're definitely going to see some cool stuff.
Oh, for sure. Tons of pictures cool will be people. Showing up on Instagram, for sure.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah, and then the next focus after SEMA
is
KOH.
How many days?
So that'll be 87 days from this episode.
87, man, that's like...
I mean, that's like right there.
That's, oh, man, we got to start right planning.
I'm glad I'm not prepping a race car or anything. I've got a little bit of work I want to do on the buggy before then.
Sure.
I may get the seat heater in for the passenger this trip. I don't know. We'll see.
That's crazy talk.
Because that really was nice out there on the lake bed last year.
I'm sure.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So, obviously, teams are in full prep mode for KOH, and we'll see some of those people down there.
Yeah, SEMA. Absolutely.
So, looking forward to all that. And, I mean, it's and then we're going to be wrapping up the year.
Yep. We had a couple of cool episodes we're talking about planning for the holiday season and stuff
yes,
like that. So.
Yes, we do. We got some things in the works. We'll see how it works out. Depends on if Lorenzo sidetracks us or not. But he said he's on his best behavior now, moving forward.
Get away from that bottle.
Yeah, and super producer Lorenzo. So,
do you want to do a shout out?
Should we do? Yeah, let's do a couple shout outs to some of our loyal listeners out there.
Absolutely,
we've been doing getting a few emails here and responding.
Yes, we have. We love emails.
We do. I love the interaction on the gram.
Absolutely.
So look us up on Wheeling Wine and Whiskey on the gram. But if you're going to email us, Chris at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com, Jason at WheelingWineAndWhiskey.com, and Charles Locke. From down under, mate. Good day, mate.
Good day.
Well, I don't want to butcher. I don't want to butcher the language. I love the Australians.
They're great.
And he sent us a little email correcting
a little information.
Dropped a little knowledge on us on the Toyota Land Cruisers.
He did.
Old classic Land Cruisers. This is the one Toyota. If I was to get a Toyota, that I would consider buying.
Well, why did we originally talk about that Toyota?
Well, because it was at our safety clinic.
That's right.
It was totally unique.
Right.
It was, we posted it up on the gram. It's a green, and it was a right-hand drive, and it was a stock, you know, FJ 80.
Uh-huh.
But
FJ 40.
I'm sorry, FJ 40. Right. FJ 80 is the new one. But we called it an FJ, but FJ is gas.
Right.
And HJ45 is the diesel.
That's right.
So technically, that was a Toyota HJ45 right-hand drive diesel rig.
Absolutely. That's very cool to know. Now we've been educated, and we can tell Tyler that something he doesn't even know, apparently.
Right.
Or Jimmy.
The all-knowing Toyota podcast.
That's right. So, yeah, very cool information. We definitely appreciate that. And I think, the wheeling down in Australia has got to be pretty badass. I mean, the rigs they have that we don't ever get to touch.
Well, it's a lot of overlanding down there, right? Is that still, where overlanding originated?
It might be. You know, ARB, you know, they got the rooftop tents and right. the bumpers and the winches and their lockers and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I think they do a lot of overlanding there. I'm not sure. I've never been to Australia, but looks like they have a lot of fun crossing streams and going through the outback and whatnot, which is cool. So
the outback. That's a steakhouse.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, the other thing he sent out and a couple other people did on Instagram, I don't know, this went around on the interwebs of the toilet paper over under.
Oh, God.
Did you see this picture?
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. You didn't see it?
I don't.
So it's got a picture of a toilet paper roll with a happy face with it over, okay, the correct way. And then it's got a picture of the toilet paper roll with it under with a sad face.
Okay.
So here, can you see the picture?
Yeah.
And it says, beards are cool, mullets are bad.
That's great. That's freaking great.
So he sent us that. And like I say, a couple other people did on the Instagram. And I love it.
That's cool.
Love it, love it, love it. So we had a couple questions for us that I believe we answered.
What's that?
About, you know, recommendations for vehicles for certain operations. And then we had another good one here from Travis. I love it because he put P.S. Fireball is for girls, Tyler.
Oh, boy.
So he knows. He appreciates good whiskey, no apparently. Doubt. Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
But he lives in Utah.
Great.
And likes going to Moab. He's right there.
Sure.
I mean, looks like he's looking for a new rig there. So, looking for recommendations.
Jeep. Always a Jeep.
That's what we used to have a Willys.
Well, you need to know what are you trying to do? Are you overlanding? You want to go hardcore rock crawling? Just get a buggy? And I mean, the laws are definitely less restrictive in Utah than they are here for how you can modify a rig or whatnot. So
yeah, and then our buddy the Sherpa down in Florida.
Uh huh.
He
stranded in Florida.
He threw out some good info for you.
I know. I'm digesting tons of information for what I'm gonna I have to do and like I said, SEMA is a week and a half away, and we're gonna when this episode airs, we'll be there, and I'll be absorbing knowledge about what my plan is. So yeah, there it is.
Okay. Whoop. Whoop. There it is. So that'll be good. And then who else we got here? Josh, also emailed in and, loving the show.
Okay.
And, he's getting into more off-road travel.
Cool.
So it's all good. As long as you're getting out there having fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
He says, I guess they call it overlanding now.
Who does?
Well, just getting off road, you know.
It doesn't
necessarily.
Rock landing.
Rock landing. I I'm kind of liking the rock landing term. Trying to figure out how to get a tent on the top of the Jeep or the buggy. That would be really cool.
Might have to whip out the welder for that.
I would break that tent off the buggy in no time.
That's right.
It'd be gone. She gone.
Where'd the cooler go?
Yeah. So,
right.
Anyways,
on.
Some great, great stuff. So, guys, write in, and gals, we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely. For sure. You got anything else?
I don't think so. I think we're good here.
We're wrapping up our homecoming episode.
We're back. Lorenzo's back home. He's happy to be back home.
Yes, he is.
And we're almost out of our bourbons here.
No, that'll never happen.
Well, just for the evening.
So just a reminder to everybody, our music is provided to us by the wonderful band called Vile 8.
Vile 8.
Be sure to look them up on Dirtbag Johnny's website.
So dirtbag.com.
Dirtbag.com.
John.
Check
at
them
Dirtbag.
Out. John, yeah, John at Dirtbag.
Send him an email.
That's right.
Tell him you like the music.
The music's great.
You like what's going on. He'll send it on to the band.
Absolutely.
And Johnny also helped out Snail Trail with their their intro outro music.
He did. And that big improvement there too.
Yeah.
So, for sure.
So that's cool.
So Vile 8. Check them out.
And Johnny, well, we're talking about
Dirtbag. Oh, yeah.
They just finalized their logo.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So I would imagine by the time this episode airs,
the world
we're physically going to have stickers in hand.
And the world debut of our new logo.
Wow.
The official.
How are we going to launch that?
With a rocket.
With a rocket. I like it. Yeah, we're going to have to, that's going to be good. It's going to have to get some fanfare, parades,
woo-hoo,
red carpet, strike up the band.
I'm going to grab a microphone at SEMA. We're going to make a big announcement down there.
Wouldn't that be great if you stand up in the middle of the off-road hall?
Ian, you don't need that microphone. Give me that thing.
Stand back. We got an announcement to make. Attention all SEMA goers here in the off-road hall. Chris from Willie Wine and Whiskey has an announcement. Please direct your attention over by the beer court.
Wake up, Chris. There it is.
I don't know. We'll figure out something, I hope that we are armed with some stickers. We'll have business cards for sure at the show.
Absolutely.
And if we have some stickers and we can hand those out, and if anybody's going, I don't know how they're going to find us because there's a million people there.
Oh, it's a zoo.
We'll just put them on our forehead and people will recognize us. And we'll
stick them on our headlights and drive our rigs around.
Yeah, there you go. That seemed to work for the Snail Trail crew.
Anyway.
All right. Well, hey, good stuff. And looking forward to SEMA.
Yes, sir.
And looking forward to the stories from SEMA.
Absolutely.
All right. You got anything else?
No, sir. We're out.